This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
He came as a non-Muslim.
Thank you. I also have a friend.
السلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 26 من شهر جمادى الآخرة 1446 الموافق ل 28 من شهر ديسمبر 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we'll be dealing with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, right? Yeah. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar about كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحلف. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar about how was the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do the halif. You know, halif, swearing, right? Taking oath. How was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do it? قال وعنه قال كان يمين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ومقلب القلوب لا ومقلب القلوب. The oath of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be ومقلب القلوب ومقلب القلوب. قال المراد أن هذا اللفظ الذي كان يواظب عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في القسم. So this is the text that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم usually used when he swears by Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ومقلب القلوب. You get it? كان يواظب عليه. Not the only thing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do. كان يمين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أي كان مما يواظب عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ومقلب القلوب. You get it? Because if you take it literally, you will say Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he swears, he will only use this. But that's not true. We're going to see other texts also used by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقد ذكر البخاري. البخاري من هو البخاري؟ His name محمد بن إسماعيل. Actually, we should place uquba on those who forgot the name of the most famous scholars among us, right? Mm. And the best uquba is to cancel the class. So, Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari. So, Imam Bukhari, he mentioned al-fadl التي كان يقسم بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The al-fadl used by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his qasam. So he used to say la wa muqallib al-qulub. La wa muqallib al-qulub wa muqallib al-qulub. That's one, right? Mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari. Wa fi riwayatin la wa musarrif al-qulub. La wa musarrif al-qulub. And also one of those method, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مُقَلِّبِ الْقُلُوبِ. What is the meaning of مُقَلِّبِ الْقُلُوبِ? تَقْلِيبِ الْقُلُوبِ means changing the heart. Which one? Turning. تَقْلِيبِ is قَلَّبَهُ, to turn something upside down or different way. But is it the heart being turned upside down like this? No, the scholar said he is talking about the second part of the hadith, مُصَرِّفِ الْقُلُوبِ. يعني تَصَرُّفَاتِ الْقُلُوبِ كُلُّهَا دَاخِلَ تَحْتَ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَتَصْرِيفِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَدْبِيرِهِ. يعني تَصَرُّفَاتِ الْقُلُوبِ وَتَقَلُّبَاتِهِ, يعني the behavior of the heart. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's in control of all of those things. Is that clear? So it's not the heart physically being turned. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. What does the meaning of وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ? The one who holds my soul, right? وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. The same thing, right? And he used to say وَاللَّهِ. And he used to say وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَرَبِّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَلِبْنَ أَبِي شَيْبَةِ كَانَ إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ فِي الْيَمِينِ قال لا والذي نفس أبي القاسم بيده. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he wants to emphasize on the يمين, he says والذي نفس أبي قاسم أبي القاسم بيده. من هو أبي القاسم؟ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Can we call ourselves أبو القاسم? We have greats call us أبو القاسم, الشاطبي, أبو القاسم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَسَمُّوا بِاسْمِ وَلَا تَكَنُّوا بِكُنْيَتِ. Use my name, and you call your kids my name, but don't use my kunya. So many scholars said that was fi hayati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only. Because there was a cause to that. Somebody said, يَا أَبَا الْقَاسِمِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned. And then the man said, no, lam a'anika ya Rasulullah. I'm talking to that person. His name also, his kunya also was Abu al-Qasim. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, do not use my kunya. Use my name, but not my kunya. So most of the scholars said it was just restricted to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the cause of that statement disappeared now. Right? That's why you have great scholars in the past, Abul Qasim, Abul Qasim, Abul Qasim. Clear, inshallah. So one of the good names is Muhammad. Yeah, one of the good names is Muhammad Ahmed. Very good name. Yeah. For those of you who are preparing to come into the system in the future, have this in your mind. Then go to some other names. It's okay, fine. Any name that has good meaning is fine. Right. But get from those which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, Abdullah. And I will choose always for a person to start with Abdullah and Abdurrahman. So Abdullah, Abdurrahman, and then swim in the names of the Sahaba. Yani hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in that person. You know, because they said the name Mata Mati. Revive us technology. They have enough battery, maybe before I finish you have like I have to change 10 times. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Very bad government. So, what was I saying? Abdullah Abdurrahman, you know. They said because name has an impact on the musamma. Right? When you give a name to a child, usually the name has an impact on the child. And that's true. You know, that's true. That's why it's not good for a person and violating the right of the child for you to give him bad name. You know, you should choose a good name. So if I am to choose for you, those Abdul, start with Abdullah, Abdurrahman, because they came in the hadith that these are the most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and then any name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you want to attach the ubudiyah to it, yeah, Abdul Quddus, Abdul Jabbar, if you want to scare your family in there. Start with Abdul Halim, Abdul Ra'uf, Abdul Ghafoor, Abdul Aziz, make it last. it's good when you start with the names that have mercy in them. All of the names of Allah SWT contain mercy, but they are very strong and powerful names, like Abdul Jabbar, Abdul Qahhar. You know, and you scare the enemies, then send them up to Jabbar. Yeah. Anyway, other than that, the names of the companions of the Prophet. For the sisters, I love swimming in the house of Rasulullah. Get from those four sisters that are the best, you know, in this life of ours, and the house of the Prophet. Or you start with the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you go out, then take from those four sisters. You get it? Who are in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Khadija, Aisha, Fatima, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, yeah, Umm Habiba, Hind. That's her name. Umm Salama also Hind. Juwayriya, Hafsa. Who else? We forgot. Maimuna, Sauda, yeah. I think we address all. Yeah. We mentioned Sophia?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sophia bint Khuyay, you know. Enough name, right? About how many? About 11, you know. If somebody has 11 daughters, that's Jaish. When there is event in your house, you don't need to invite anyone. You Allah, name from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you have this huge amount of people. But unfortunately, we're living in a time where they tell you, you are animals if you have too much kids. قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Anyway, so Abu al-Qasim, he used to say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ أَبِي الْقَاسِمِ بِيَدِهِ قَالَ وَلِبْنُ مَاجَ كَانَ يَمِينُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الَّتِي يَحْلِفُ بِهَا أَشْهَدُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, according to this hadith, that the yameen of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that he used to say, أَشْهَدُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, a bear witness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. And also he used to say, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. وَالْمُرَادُ بِتَقْلِيبِ الْقُلُوبِ تَقْلِيبُ أَعْرَاضِهَا وَأَحْوَالِهَا لا تقلب ذات القلب. And this is what we said. Yeah, the murad, the maqsood, the meaning of مقلب القلوب, تقليب القلوب, is تقليب أعراض القلوب, أحوال, حال القلب. Because sometimes the قلب is like this, sometimes okay, sometimes not okay. Yeah, who is in control? رب العالمين. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly, you know, in many places he used to make dua in the sujood. He used to say, لا يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك ويا مصرف القلوب والأبصار صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك أو إلى طاعتك. He used to say مقلب القلوب. He used to ask Allah this. So Aisha asked him one day, يا رسول الله, why are you always saying يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك? He said, Ya Aisha, because إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ بَيْنَ إِسْبُعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَنِ. The hearts are between two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has? No, don't say two. Omar, we need to send him to Aqidah course. You don't want him as a leader to corrupt. So he says, "Bayna usba'in min asabi al-Rahman." He says, "Bayna usba'in min asabi al-Rahman." Two fingers among the fingers of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. So Allah has fingers. Asabi taliqu bi jalalillahi azza wa jalla. Fingers that fit the jalal of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and His greatness. That's it. Very simple concept, right? Just up to this moment, you stop. Don't go for modifications, right? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about yad, and they interpreted yad with al-quwwah, power. You get it? They said it's power. That's why they got stuck when it comes to bal yadahu. You say quwwatahu, it doesn't even make sense. You know? His two powers, it doesn't even make sense. Yeah. So Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. But how about the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيِّدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. السماء بنيناها بأيدي وإنا لموسعون. What is the meaning of أيدي? He said we build up the سماء بأيدي with أيدي وإنا لموسعون, and we're going to expand it, extend it. What is the meaning of أيدي? Hands, right? That's wrong. Yeah, the idea huna in this ayah is power. Yeah, you go, the idea in Surah Al-Ma'idah is hand of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. But in this place, idea is power. والسماء بنيناها بأيد أي بقوة. بقوة وإنا لموسعون. Strength and power. So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala yusina aqidatana. So it's very important for a person to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen his heart, especially in our time. Wallahi, especially in our time. Very easy for a person to get distracted. Very simple. Either by force or willingly. And that's the worst and the most actually. Willingly changing their path to something else based on the dunya. وقال الراغب الأصبهاني في المفردات في غريب القرآن, تقليب الله القلوب والبصائر صرفها عن رأي إلى رأي. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقلب القلوب, right? What does that mean? He said Allah سبحانه وتعالى will take it from opinion to another opinion, belief to another belief. Now, today you are with this and tomorrow. That's why it is necessary to be with the good people, you know. Well, this is one of the uncompromised, you know, things to a believer, that you can compromise this. Being with bad people, It's really wrong idea. Mm. A simple shubha might come and it will change from being good to an evil person. وَالْيَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ
وَالتَّقَلُّبُ وَالتَّصَرُّفُ So التَّقَلُّبُ is التَّصَرُّفُ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ That's in Surah 2. النَّحْلِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the ways he is going to get those criminals. Either he got them in this way, أو في تقلبهم أي تصرفاتهم. During the daily activities, you know, their negligence, everyone is busy with whatever he is doing, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get them in that moment. Like he says in Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ What is the best cause for risk? Al-Iman wa taqwa. Allah says, if people believe and they have taqwa, He says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ He promised to open for them بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ Blessings from the heavens وَالْأَرْضِ And the earth. SubhanAllah. And the conditions are very simple, but we don't want to do, and we want the result to take place in the best form. لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Because Allah mentioned the people of Nuh, Ad, Thamud, Lut, Shu'aib, all of them Allah got them. After that, before he start with the top, other top criminals, Fir'aun wa jama'atuhu, Allah gave us that nice conclusion of the previous histories being mentioned to us in a page and about few lines. SubhanAllah, very, very, very interesting and powerful conclusion. One of them is this one. Those people who were destroyed, what they lacked was iman. Had they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they put that faith into action and istiqama, Allah says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ We definitely open for them the barakah from the sama wal-ardi. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا But unfortunately, they did not. They denied, they rejected, they refused to follow the right thing. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold them responsible of their attitudes and their behaviors. And then Allah said, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ Do people of the city feel okay? That's the meaning of أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ Are they satisfied and are they okay with? أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit them at night. Bayat means they are sleeping at night. وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ Or they agree, they think it's okay for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to visit them ضُحًا ضُحًا means early morning وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ And they're just busy playing around or preparing for their daily activities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ Are they okay? With the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا يَأْمَنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Nobody will be okay with the makr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the losers. You Allah. If you see a person who doesn't care, doesn't worry, no problem. Who cares about the punishment? This is a real loser. They said, to be punished from the angle that you don't expect the punishment, the pain is worse. You are expecting mercy and then you're punished. The pain is worse. And subhanAllah, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get those criminals. Some of them, Allah take them to the place which is so cold. The city was very hot. The temperature was so high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see how those guys who are telling their prophet, why 3 days? Yunus alayhi salam told his people, 3 days. They told him, why 3 days? It's too long. Why not now? But wallahu la mukriha lahu. You get it? And Allah got them. People of Shu'aib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also dragged them, to a place where they received, subhanallah, a rain of fire. People of Ahad, I'm sorry, people of Hud, the Ahad. They also, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا.
Wallahi, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does these things, subhanAllah, is very amazing. A very simple way. Get them to the place where he wanted to destroy them in a very easy way. They go by themselves. Those guys, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring those nice, cold, you know, clouds. They went to enjoy. Waiting for the rain, but fire came, and that page of theirs was closed. Right? That page of theirs was closed. It says, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. One of our scholars, he says, even if you don't understand Arabic language, you know that this word damdama might not carry good meaning in it. Yeah, this is to erase, to uproot a people, take them out of existence. And subhanAllah, look at what Al-Bahri Azza wa Jalla said. He said, وَلَا يَخَفَ عُقُبَاهَا. He doesn't care about what will be the consequence. That's us. You will do something, you are afraid of what could possibly happen after that. Not Rabbul Alameen. Not Rabbul Alameen. He took them off. And then he says, وَلَا يَخَفَ عُقُبَاهَا. Even if they are there, the balance of them exists. What can they do? Nothing. What if, خلاص, collectively Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to reflect and to do the right thing. So he says, أَوْ يَأْخُذُهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّدِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. قَالَ ابْنُ الْعَرَبِي, the good one or the bad one? The good one. الْأَلِفُ وَاللَّامِ for the good one, right? التَّعْلِيفِ. الْقَلْبُ جُزْءٌ مِّنَ الْبَدَنِ خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ وَجَعَلَهُ لِلْإِنسَانِ. He said, heart is a portion, is a part in the body of the human being. Is it the one who controls every part of you? Yes. In terms of authority, the heart is in charge of every part of the body. Every single movement you are doing, it is taken from the heart. You know, you get it? That command is coming from that place. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha idha salahat salah al jasad kullu." So he says, "It's juz'u min al badan, is a part of the body of a person that Allah created. Allah created it. وَجَعَلَهُ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَحَلَّ الْعِلْمِ وَالْكَلَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it for the person, you know, the basis of knowledge وَالْكَلَامِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ الْبَاطِنَةِ. And other than that, of all of those hidden sifat that are the sifat of al-qalb. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ وَمَهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah brought you out of the womb of your mothers, not knowing anything. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. These are the three most important senses. Who can put them according to their importance? Arrange them according to their importance. I will mention the first one is heart. Then you have to arrange the second with evidence. The balance of the two with evidence. You know how I cheated, right? I took the easiest one, right? And I let you suffer with the. Somebody says, ear and then the eyes.
Yeah,
ears and then the eyes. Wrong. Okay, translate. The way you put it is wrong. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with the sama, it doesn't mean the sama is. If this is the case, then heart should be the least. Because in some ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Can I give you a clue? Yeah, I want you to complete your righteous deed. The same ayah you mentioned, just translate the ayah, and then you translate this ayah and the second one. Then you will get what we are talking about. Okay, the best way is the heart
comes first, and then the ears, the sama, not the ear itself, but the hearing, and then the seeing. In terms of importance, this one is more important than. It's more powerful actually than the eyesight. Okay, let's read together. Okay, I'm punishing Mazin. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَسْتَمِعُ عَلَيْكِ. Okay, السمع comes from the hearing, right? The ears. Some of them, amongst them, that يَسْتَمِعُ عَلَيْكِ meaning they try to listen to one. What you saying? أَفَأَنْتَ تُسْمِعُ السُّمَّ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. How can you have the ability to send a message to a deaf person even if he doesn't have aql? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ. The second ayah says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ. أَفَأَنْتَ تَهْدِي الْعُمْيَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. He says, some of them, they look at you. But how is it possible for you to be able to make yourself visible to somebody who doesn't have eyesight? And then he looks at you, but he cannot see anything. So where is the evidence here? Ibn Qutaybah said, this ayah shows that the hearing is better. Okay, I got the answer from Lubna here. May Allah reward all of them. Ibn Qutaybah says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related the hearing to the aql. أَفَأَنْتَ تُسْمِعُ السُّمَّ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related the hearing to the aql. And the eyesight is just ibsar. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْكَ النَّظَرُ. Allah did not relate it to the aql. He said this shows that yes, this one is given a value more. That's why it is more powerful than the eyesight. You cannot sleep if your ears is awake. It's a fact, and also Quran confirms this. You can't sleep if your ears. That's why they said in your body, the first hassa that sleeps is your ears. The ears have to sleep first, and then the eyes will sleep. If the ears doesn't sleep, the eyes will not sleep. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ. Most likely this is what Shafa was trying to relate to in Surah Al-Kahf. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِهِمْ. Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِهِمْ. We block their ears. He didn't say we block their eyes. We block their ears. And then they slept for 309 years. You get it? Yeah. That's why I think even the baby, when he was born, they said the ear side wakes up before the eyes. You'll be able to hear first before the before seeing. So these are the most important senses in the body of human beings. So Allah wants you to understand how much He blessed you so much. Because losing anything else, you know, in your body, wallahi, is much easier than losing any one of these. Yeah. The worst is to lose your heart. And we're not talking about physical loss, then the person will be physically dead. Right? That's why which one is considered to be the real death? The heart or the brain? The heart, right? You're going against the doctors? I think you are. Because, wait, Adam. There are some, because it's a debate between them. For those people who are in a state of coma, they don't do anything, the machines are helping them to survive. Get it? So, they're asking this question, if a person, if the cells, the brain cells are gone, can we, motil dimagh, they call it, motil dimaghi, can we consider a person as a dead person? Because it has a consequences. Because if they consider him as a dead person, that means the family can distribute his estate. And also, according to the bad opinion that says, you can take the organs of other human beings to help the other one to live, because we need those cells to be alive for us to be able to transfer them. When you take them from the person, we need the person to be alive. Because I don't know whether technology is in the advance to utilize the organs of the dead person after the cells also are gone. So in the past, they said they need the cells to be alive first for them to be able to do the right thing. So now, how do they take it? You know, when they take the kidney, right? When they take it when the person is alive so that they could be able to use it. They don't wait for him to die and then they remove. They take it when he is alive. So now, can they say, okay, if a person lost his brain cells, can we just consider this person as a dead person so that the doctors can just take some part of him and give it to somebody else to survive and to live? Yeah. So it's a debate among the scholars, which one is considered the real death? Yeah. And the best opinion is what Adam was trying to say. We're just teasing him when I said he's going against some of the doctors, because there are some who believe that if the brain cells are gone, then the person is khalas, have no use and have no benefit, which I believe, according to my little reading, is also false. Because there are some people who have this problem and they survived and they lived and they told their stories afterwards, that the doctors confirmed that the cells in the brain are gone and they managed to survive by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykhuna Shaykh Mukhtar mentioned when he was talking about this matter, he said, there are children who were born without brain cells. They live for 6 months and few, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them back. But they manage to survive. If let's say without cell, then you have to die, then they shouldn't come out alive actually at the first place. So that's why sometimes you say, لا يهمنا كلام الأطباء. That's when there is a contradiction between what they are saying and what Sharia is saying then. لا يهمنا كلام الأطباء. So when the heart is dead, then khalas, we can confirm that a person is gone. Wallahu alam. So he says, back to the story. قال جعله الله سبحانه وتعالى للإنسان محل العلم والكلام وغير ذلك من الصفات الباطنة وجعل ظاهر البدن محل التصرفات الفعلية والقولية. So you see, the heart is a place of hidden activities, right? And these are the most sensitive one and the best one and the most important ones actually. And the body is the place and the position and the basis of the physical activities. So the heart will release the command and the rest of the body will act upon the command being given to them by their leader. Who says the heart is a leader? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? When he says there is a mudgha, when this mudgha is okay, everything in the body will be okay. That means it is the one that is taking the lead. وَوَكَّلَ بِهِ مَلَكًا يَأْمُرُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَشَيْطَانًا يَأْمُرُ بِالشَّرِ. Now, this are the qareen, right? The two qareen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nobody amongst you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned for him a qareen from the angels and a qareen from the shayateen. So he has qareen from the angels and qareen from the jinn. Can you say qareen from the shayateen or from the jinn? Qareen from shayateen or qareen from jinn? From jinn. So that's why we said qareen from jinn. Qareen from jinn, yeah, that's the closest opinion of the scholars. I'm not so sure about the narration that says qareen from the shayateen, but the narration is, the vast majority of the narration is qareen from the jinn. That's why those who debate, you know, if you read Tahawiyah, there is a debate on this matter. How come the qareen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam converted to Islam? Because they said, "Wala anta ya Rasulullah?" He said, yes, wala ana. Illa anna Allah a'anani alayhi fa aslam. He said, Allah helped me, against mine, and he converted to Islam. Trying to keep that which Adam was saying earlier, that this is from the shaitan and there is no way for shaitan to accept Islam. That's why they said the Islam mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the Islam to accept Allah, but istislam. He submitted now and he has no power, no ability to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that's need evidence to support it, right? And there is no such evidence to support this ta'wil. It's ta'wil. When he says fa'aslama, he did not say fa'staslama. Qala fa'aslama. Aslam means accept Islam. You get it? He accepted Islam. So both of them are commanded. That's why also to show that ta'wil is fake, is wrong. He says fala ya'murni illa bi khair. Because istislam means he has no power, but he wanted to do, but he can't do. So he kept quiet, but he would not command Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do good. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fala ya'muruni illa bi khair." He always asked me to do good. Subhanallah. Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His nafs is tayyiba, tayyiba, tayyiba. Qareen from the angels always tell him, "Ya Rasulullah, this is good to do." Qareen from the jinn always telling him, "Ya Rasulullah, this is good to do." From every angle, you know, good is coming. From inside, from outside, is he's muhat billah, khair. Bi khilafina nahn. So Qareen Adam is Qareen from the jinn. Because we have good jinn, you have bad jinn. You get it? Just like human beings, we have good human beings, we have bad human beings. That's why we have shayateen from the human beings, right? Allah says shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. Right. Netanyahu, for instance. What do you call him?
Shaytan.
Shaytan or?
He is insane.
Shaytan min al-insi.
He can convert. That's
yeah, that's... Yeah, late. Because people like those mentalities, we wish to see that they will convert to Islam, inshallah. They use the same thing they have in kufr, they come to help Islam. But the question, shaitan, apart from the big shaitan, right? That one, we were sure this one will never accept Islam. That is a joke, actually, even in Jahiliyyah, they said, he was given Jannah, he said he doesn't want. I mean, these are kids' stories. So the big shaitan, this one, we are sure he will never accept Islam. But small shayateen. Can they accept Islam? Yes. That's why that opinion of those scholars is saqit. To say that if he's shaitan, how can he convert to Islam? The question is, who says shaitan cannot accept Islam? The big shaitan, yes, cannot accept Islam because Allah confirmed that he's going to be in hell forever. No way for him to accept Islam. But the small shayateen, they can accept Islam. Right? And also, narration says jinn. And jinn you have different types of jinn. Even if we are to say, لَوْ سَلَّمْنَا تَسْلِيمًا جَدَلِيًّا, if you are to submit for the sake of argument, just submit, still we can say that shaitan it's possible for him to accept Islam. But if we say that this is from jinn, then it's okay, jinn, there are bad jinn, good jinn, it was a bad jinn, but accepted Islam. Zainab, the wife of Abdullah Mas'ud, was sleeping with her husband on the bed. He was sleeping, and then Abdullah Mas'ud woke up at night to go and pray. Tahajjud, just woke up for his tahajjud. So she was enjoying that moment, you know, they were together, and then she told him, "Where are you going? Just wake up and then leave me alone here." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I'm going to pray my night prayer." She said, "No, we still have time. You still have some time." So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud raised up his hand. He said, "Ya Allah, Allahumma huma ithnan, one wahid." He said, "Ya Allah, there are two, and I'm only one." She said, "Who is the next one?" Because she couldn't see anyone next to her. He said, "Shaitan." For sure she will tell him, just go in. What does he mean by shaitan? Is there... Was shaitan there in that place? Also trying to, not necessarily physically, but was shaitan trying to influence him also not to wake up? Yes. بِنَصِّ السُّنَّةِ Because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَعْقِدُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ قَافِيَةِ رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ ثَلَاثَ أُقَاتٍ Right? When you sleep those three knots, shaitan is going to put them on your head. If you wake up, and then, you know, some people when they wake up, that's the first dhikr they have. That means one uqda will remain. That's how it is. Yeah. But if you wake up and then Alhamdulillah الذي أحيانا بعد ما ماتنا وليه النشور خلاص, one of them gone, automatically is gone. If you go and make wudu, the second one is gone. If you go and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the third one is gone. And then when you wake up in the Fajr time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you wake up nasheet an nafs, happy. You know, not having been disturbed by anything, you wake up happy. So if you usually waking up in the morning very moody, look into your Qiyamul Layl. Are you among the Qiyamul Layl people? If not, then you already know the sauce. Pray at least 2 rakat. Don't just pray Isha and then sleep. Pray at least 2 rakat and then sleep. So he says, if the opposite happened, asba khabith and nafsi kaslan, lazy also at the same time. So Qiyamul Layl gives nashat. Right? Qiyamul Layl gives nashat, energy to be able to conduct your activities peacefully in the morning. And also shaitan came, yeah? If you woke up, you know, very late after the Fajr, you never woke up at night. The Prophet said, ذَاكَ رَجُلًا بَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذْنِي. That's the man that shaitan peed in his ears. أعوذ بالله. And shaitan also has a song. Maybe this is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was referring to. Because if you're about to wake up, especially at the best time, which is the last part of the night, shaitan will come and sing next to your ears. عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. You still have a long night. Go ahead and sleep. Your wife is telling you, you still have a long night. Go ahead. So that's why Abdullah Mas'ud says, "Whom are ithnan? Ya Allah, there are two. I cannot fight two of them. I can try to fight one, but that guy was telling me, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ. But now my wife also joined. She also, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. Allah. Allah grant us good. So let's go back to that. قَالَ وَجَعَلَ ظَاهِرَ الْبَدَنِ مَحَلَّ التَّصَرُّفَاتِ الْفِعْلِيَّةِ وَالْقَوْلِيَّةِ وَوَكَّلَ بِذَلِكَ مَلَكًا. So we have the angel that is commanding you to do good, and an angel that is commanding you, I'm sorry, a shaitan that is commanding you to do bad, the jinn that is commanding you to do bad. That's the shaitan. وَالْعَقْلُ بِنُورِهِ يَهْدِي. The aql, which is concentrated in the heart, inside the heart, right? The aql is in the heart, بِنَصِّ الْقُرْآنِ, is guiding you with its light, always telling you not to go and follow the inappropriate way. وَالْهَوَى بِذُلْمَتِهِ. الْهَوَى ضِدُّ الْعَقْلِ, following your desire, following what you want to do. بِذُلْمَتِهِ يُغْوِي, it is always misguiding you, taking the support from that devil that is telling you, don't do good. وَالْقَضَاءُ مُسَيْطُرٌ عَلَى الْكُلِّ, and the qadha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dominates all. Nothing among those tasarrufat, neither from the angel or from this or from the aql or from the hawa, that can go out of the qadr and the qadha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Aqidat Hawiyah, he says, وَلَا يَكُونُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَا لَا يُلِيدُ. By now you should memorize this book, right? وَلَا يَكُونُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَا لَا يُلِيدُ. There is no way for you to have something in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah doesn't have irada on it. If you see something taking place, aradahullah. Which type of irada? It depends on the nature of the thing. If it is something good, aradahullah irada kawniya shara'iyya. If it is something bad, then aradahullah irada kawniya qadariyya only. Because irada kawniya qadariyya, these are the things that Allah SWT wants them to happen, and they must happen. Nothing can stop them. But there might be something that Allah doesn't like. But he decreed that it has to happen, because wallahu yaf'alu ma yurid. Allah says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمْ الْبَيِّنَاتُ وَلَكِنْ اِخْتَلَفُوا فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرُ. If Allah wants, those guys will never fight. And you put it in the time of the companions. If Allah wish, Ali ibn Abi Talib and the army of Muawiyah will never fight. The army of Muawiyah and the army of Ali will never fight, because these are Muslims fighting each other. He says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفَعْلُ مَا يَدِيدُ. If Allah wants, they will never fight. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of what he wants. That's irada kawniya. Which means nothing in this dunya that is taking place without the qadr and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? Whatever you see is the irada. وَتَصَرُّفُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَدْبِيرِهِ. لا نقول كما تقول المعتزلة في المقتول. المقتول according to the عقيدة of أهل السنة والمقتول مات بأجله. Allah decreed that the time everyone can spend, right? The one who is murdered, he died بأجله. That was his time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the cause the action of that criminal. Mu'tazila, Allah, even the kids couldn't find it easy to digest. I was teaching young people when I reached this place and I told them what Mu'tazila said. They couldn't find it easy to digest. Because Mu'tazila said, no. وَالْمَقْتُولُ مَقْتُونَ عَلَيْهِ أَجَلَهُ. According to them, Allah decreed that that guy will live for 100 years, but somebody cut it. لو لم يقم يقتله لعاش إلى أجله. والله نسأل الله سبحانه سفهاء الأحلام. Just like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سفهاء الأحلام. So the one who is killed مات بأجله. Whatever you see in this life, that's why to make it easy for all of you, in this life when it comes to رب العالمين, there is no sudfa. What is sudfa? Coincidence. I would say coincidentally I met Umar. That's you. Because you don't make a plan. You're just talking about, there is no plan, we just met just like that. But with Rabbul Alameen, wallahi, there is no coincidence. Whatever you see happen, meeting of the Umar with Ibrahim is not coincidence. There is a reason why it happens. We might know the reason, we might not know the reason, but Allah knows that this is going to happen. And not only knowing, but He wrote that this is going to happen 50,000 years ago, this had been written before the creation of the universe. والقضاء مسيط على الكل والقلب يتقلب بين الخواطر الحسنة والسيئة واللمة من الملك الملك تارة ومن الشيطان أخرى والمحفوظ من حفظه الله. والله this statement of Raghib al-Asmahani is it really need to be visited many times again. Very simple but straight to the point. Tells you how to succeed in this dunya. He says that the qalb is going up and down. Sometimes with good, sometimes with bad. And sometimes with the influence of the angel, and sometimes with the influence of the shaitan. He said, وَالْمَحْفُوذُ مَنْ حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. The only protected and the successful one is the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects. Iwallah. If Allah doesn't want you to get the correct way, no matter how much you try, you will never get it. So you understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always asking Allah, Ya Allah, preserve my heart in the sujood. He always say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, you always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this. And you are Rasulullah, are you afraid? You know? He said, yes. Because the heart are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuqallibuha kayfa yasha. He turns it in the way He wants. That's why al-malja ila Allah azza wa jalla. Every day go back to Allah and ask Him to fix you. Don't you become magroor. Wallah, I really advise you, don't you ever look at your righteousness, look at your attitude and say, oh, Alhamdulillah, we are the righteous people. No, Salaf or Salih were not like that. They're always afraid of getting deviated. And they don't take risk. We are the ones who are taking risk. The Salaf, no, they don't. They know that something little can affect their heart and they will lose the track. So be like them. Don't take chances, preserve your iman, don't put it at risk, don't test your iman. Any place where you know your iman could be, you know, shaked by some people, don't go to that place. Website, media, groups. Yeah. Nowadays, you just wake up and see some people add you in a group and keep on sending any nonsense from anyone. Just exit. And nowadays they have a system. Last time I did not know how this would work. They put me in different type of group. I usually just say to the thing, exit, and then khalas, طلعني outside. But now you have to go and delete this one, delete this one, delete this one. SubhanAllah, what kind of shaitan is this? I did not request for something. You put me in and you locked the place. I have to do so many maneuvering for me to be able to exit myself from those things. So understand your enemy. Yeah. Anyone who added you to a group which you don't permit them to do, yeah, tell them not to do it again. Yeah. Take your permission first. Because sometimes, wallahi, you don't know if the group is evil. You might see one thing that might change your aqidah, change your tarbiyah, change your mind, and put you in trouble. You need to do a lot for you to delete that image which was instilled inside your brain. May Allah grant us good. So we stop here, inshallah. In the next class, we will talk about the balance of this hadith. We still have a few more to go, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Adam, do we have some gift? Okay, what is that?
I brought you new batteries. Cool. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu
alaikum. Shafa asks, can we understand what we mean by bad Arabi when we address it without the alif lam? So the... She wants to know about Ibn Arabi.
Ibn Arabi. But she should go and check the biography by herself.
Okay.
But it's a very good scholar, Maliki scholar, Ibn
Arabi. No. Wahdat al-Wujud.
The guy, the Ibn Arabi.
Ibn Arabi, yeah.
Okay. That one, don't go and study. You know. not now. Although the things are very useless in the way, inshallah, there's no fear, but don't waste your time. That one is not even a Muslim because he believes in Wahdat al-Wujud. Everything is Allah. Wahdat al-Wujud means that whatever you see in existence is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get it? And whatever you see in existence is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaquluna halla fi kulli shay. That's why al-Hanafi says kufruhum aswa min kufri al-Nasara wa hatta al-Manawiyya. You know. Because nobody amongst the history that ever established sani'an, mutakafi'ani fil quwwa. To believe in sani'ani, mutakafi'ani fil quwwa, sani'ani means khaliqain, two creators which have the same capacity and ability. No sects or aqidah or deen ever accepted this. You have those who accept two khaliq, but not the same level. Like the Majus. Majus believe that is Ilahul Nur and Ilahul Dhulma. Yeah? But if you ask them, even in some countries believe, I don't want to mention the name, but even some countries believe also they have something like that. Yeah. But if you ask them, also deep down they know that this one is better than this one. This one is better than this. They don't establish the same capacity and power. But those guys, they establish the same thing with the same power and ability. He says they aswa, worse than the Nasara, because Nasara hasaru?
Two.
Al-Uliya in three. Thalithu thalatha. And those guys say everyone is Allah. Everything is Allah, everyone is Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa afiyah. He has one bait also, if I'm not mistaken, is also his book. It's his statement that says, يَدِينُ بِدِينُ الْحُبِّ أَنَّا تَوَجَّهَتْ رَكَائِبُهُ فَالْحُبُّ الدِّينِ wa imani, or something like that. He said he worships or he bases religion on love. Wherever loves exist, his religion is there. That's why he says fayawmun li kada. Sometimes you might find him in a masjid, sometimes you might find him in a synagogue, sometimes in a church, sometimes he's drinking wine, sometimes he's doing this and that. He says, okay, as long as there is love in that place, this is the deen. You will never see deviation like this, you know. Yeah. Adam, next question.
Sheikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. And he says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ.
Okay. I'm ready to hit.
No. So what is the difference between the kursi and the arsh?
Two different things. Al-Sahih. There are some scholars who say they're the same thing. Kursi wal arsh, the same. But the best opinion, these are two different things. You get it, arsh get al kursi. You know, that's why in the hadith, if you take the kursi and put it in the arsh, that's mean they're two different things. Kursi is way lesser than the arsh. That's why it came in the Athar, attributed to some of the companions. Wal kursi mawdi wal qadamain. Kursi is a position of the feet of Al Bari Azza wa Jalla. Arsh is the throne. Istawallahu alayhi. Allah ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawallahu alayhi. Two different things. Arsh is the one that is carried by eight angels. وَيَحْمِلْ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَيْدٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. Each one of them is beyond your comprehension. You travel from the shoulder of one of them before you reach his ears, you spend 700 years. That's one angel. There are eight of them. So you can understand how big is the arsh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala arad an yu'arrifana nafsahu. He want to teach us about himself. He said, Dhul Arsh, the creator of the arsh. And if you study the arsh, you know what is arsh?
Throne.
And you study the what is arsh, you know, it's okay to study the arsh, whatever say it is said by the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to study that. So that you can have a clue of how big is the arsh. You cannot comprehend that one. But the Prophet is saying that samawat, if you put it the first heaven to the second one, it will be like a ring in the desert. The second one to the third one, like a ring in the desert. And all of them, you know, on the kursi, like a ring in the desert. Yeah, so that's to bring you to have a clue of how big is the arsh, which nobody can comprehend. Because even our space also we cannot comprehend. So going beyond that, yeah. So Allah will tell you Dhul Arsh, the creator of the arsh, so that you will know who you're dealing with. Because if you can't comprehend the place where you're living, and then the one on top of that also you cannot comprehend that, what do you think about the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq wa salat. Next question.
Sister Mourni asks, is it fine while we sleep, we turn on the Quran?
If there is a need for that. If there is no need, don't open the Quran when you're sleeping. The Quran is for tadabbur. But sometimes a person will suffer from a nightmare. It's good to turn on the Quran and sleep. Yeah.
Sister Shafa asks,
especially the one that is being running on your computer, not the internet. If the internet, then you must make sure that there is no ad. So otherwise, rather than chasing away shayateen, you come and see even the ra'isuhum ja'a ila bayt. But it's really useful. Yeah.
Shafa asks, well, the mic's not working.
No need.
I want to understand the difference between shayateen and jinn, because Iblis was a jinn too and shayateen followed after him. So are bad jinns the shayateen, or are there also shayateen?
Shaytan, jinn, human beings, angels, these are three creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we know have aql, think, decide and do things in that way. You get it? And angels are all good. The rest of the two, human beings and jinns, you have good, you have bad. From the jinns, you have very good and very dedicated jinn. You get it, very strong in their faith and iman. Much more stronger than many of the human beings. Yeah, just like what you have also in human beings, very strong people. And you have different aqaid also. Different aqaid. And different approaches from the jinn also. Kunna tara'iqa qidran, they said in Surah Al-Jinn. So you have shaitan. Shaitan is a title. What the questioner will know, the shaitan is a title given to a person who has the qualities of shaitana. Disturbs the community. You get it? That level of behavior that is bad, evil behavior that is bad, that somebody has can take him to the rank of shaitan. But not every bad person is shaitan. You get it? Not every bad person or every person who does something wrong is shaitan. Is that clear, inshallah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's, I mean, naturally we call a person, this person is shaitan, right? Like when I ask you about that entity that I don't want to destroy my tongue by mentioning his name, you told me shaitan. I'm pretty sure if I mention some also, you tell me shaitan. You get it? Those gangsters who are not willing to let the community relax. What do you call them? Shaitan. Yeah, but they are not jinn. They are shaitan. So shaitan is a wasp given to the person who has that attitude and evil behavior. You get it? Yeah. So you have shaitan. His name is Iblis. The big shaitan. His name is Iblis. He's not shaitan. You know. Allah just put it. So amongst them, you have Muslimin also from the jinns. Yes, Adam.
Ya Sheikh, is the appropriate way for us that we leave the hadith's text heart between the two fingers of Allah as it is without ta'wil?
Yes, we have to leave all of the hadiths of sifat without ta'wil. The easiest way of the Salaf al-Saleh, all of them, is amirruha kama ja'at. Let them pass in the way they reach us. That's it. Get it? Ar-Rahman al-Arsh istawa. We just say, istawa al-Arsh. Settle on the Arsh.
Settled?
Rise above the Arsh. Istawa. Istiwa is known in Arabic language. What does istiwa mean?
To pass over.
No.
Establish.
Yeah. 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 Go and see the word istiwa. What is istiwa? So it's known. That's why Imam Malik says al istiwa ma'ruf or ma'ruf. It's known. What is istiwa? You get it? And he says, how is that istiwa? Because you have different types of istiwa. But the root of the word is known to the Arab. What is istiwa? It's not to cross or to pass. You get it? To be stable, rise above something, to be stable. It's known in Arabic language. So he says, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. He says, it's known what istiwa means. But how is the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody knows. To ask about that is innovation. To believe that he has the istiwa is wajib. And then he asks somebody to chase away that person from his masjid out of the fear that he might deviate others. You know, as masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are supposed to be passed. We believe in them literally and we let them pass with no ta'wil. That's it. Next question.
Ya Sheikh, from Shafa. Ya Sheikh, when we mention regarding those eight angels who are carrying the Arsh of Allah, we know the dhikr as glory be to Allah wherever you are. Is it okay to ask why they are saying wherever? Because Allah is above the throne. Has this word wherever in any way led to the misguidance or denial of the sifat Allah?
We just say what they said. Subhanaka haythu kunt. Where are they saying that? What is the best answer? Wallahu a'lam. You get it? Subhanaka haythu kunt. That's why Babu Sifat, if you want to succeed, just amir ruha kama ja'at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yanzilu Rabbuna. What is nuzul? Coming down. Descend. Right? Yanzilu Rabbuna. And Allah says, Al al-Arsh istawa. If you go this deep, okay, then if you accept Nuzul, then he left. Does that mean he left the Arsh? Arsh. I'm just trying to say what they're saying. These are all their questions, you know, for somebody who wants to keep on going deeper. If you go to Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and all of those ones, they will tell you just let it in the way it comes. Yeah, we just receive and translate what we got in the way it is and keep quiet. You get it?
He
says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. صِفَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ صِفَةُ الْمَجِيِّ. You know what is maji, right? To come. Then, for Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that's it. For Ahl al-Batil, no, how, what do you mean maji? And it does means that is a place where Allah's point. Why do you need to go? Yeah, that's why we get into trouble whereas the past, they don't get into this trouble. So my advice to all of us, when it comes to the Asma'ullahi wa Sifatihi, just listen and take it literally and just move forward. Next question.
From Sister Morni, a tahfiz is considering to open the Quran while the students sleep every night. Is this advisable?
No. Sleeping with the Quran is not advisable, unless if there is a need for that. What is the need? Ruqya, for instance. It really benefits when it comes to the nightmares. You get it? Other than that, no, Quran is not for this. You just
because of backbiting and ayn.
I advise them not to go for this because they're going to be psychologically disturbed. I said my sickness is because of the ayn I got in UAE. How many people I have in UAE? 20,000? Who is the ayn? How do I identify the ayn? Trust me, I'm going, after that, whenever I see Mazin, I will start to have some doubt about him. I meet Rifat, I meet Sheikh, do you have a name? Adnan. I meet Adnan, I meet Omar. Whenever I meet a person, I will think, yeah, maybe this one. So my life is going to be like this. Am I going to go to every single person in UI and ask him to make wudu and give me the water I drink? How many? I will go to the hospital because of the disease that I take from others, you know. Yeah, my advice to a person like this is to avoid this thought. Just look for the medicine, for the medication, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. If it is ayn, those dua that you are making, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala will take it away. If it is ayn. Otherwise, if you keep on focusing on it, you will be psychologically disturbed, and you will not be able to be productive. Get it? Dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala kulli shay'in qadir. Yeah. Next.
From Umrayan, when in inappropriate places, for example the bathroom, often dhikr and hifth repeats in the mind, are we supposed to try to block it, or is it okay as long as it does not reach your lips?
It's fine. Dhikr comes in the mind, the person that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, even in the bathroom, it's okay, it's fine.
Should we try to push it away?
No need to push it away. Let the heart remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at any time. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to your mind, wherever you are, let it exist. Allah should say, Alhamdulillah. Some people, what comes to their mind is images and shaitana and all of these things. And you, Allah is coming to your mind. Dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembrance of righteousness is coming. Allah say, Alhamdulillah. Finish.
Three more. From Aisha, if a person sleeps with wudu but forgets to read Ayatul Kursi, can they still be protected?
Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Try not to forget, but inshallah, you will still be protected. Bi-idhnillah.
From Sister Morni, is there a specific virtue to reach early for salah before the adhan for brothers to be hearing the adhan in the masjid?
Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Yeah. Rush to righteousness. Actually, adhan is for the heedless people. It's a sign, شَعِيرَ مِنْ شَعِيرِ الدِّينِ, but it's meant usually for the heedless ones. No, adhan itself is for the heedless one. Because the people of consciousness, these are the ones that the Prophet ﷺ said, قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّكُمْ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. Always constantly. He will be surprised. How come the Imam is not making the Muaddin is not making adhan? But there are people like us, when the Muaddin makes alhamdulillah, now it's the whole time. We remember the prayer when the adhan comes. But those one know, when they go out of the masjid, their brain is occupied by the next prayer to come. Just waiting for it. That's a very good break for them in their life to have uns. That's why sometimes when you finish the prayer, you feel like staying in the masjid. See a person just lying down, relaxing. Prayer brings this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell Bilal, Abihna, biha, not minha. You get it?
Yeah.
I like that, that's good. Next.
Last question from Khalid. Our Khalid. Is it true that Salatul Istisqa?
I like that word, our Khalid.
The people of a city have to pray outside of the border of their city?
First of all, may Allah bring him back. I really want to see this man again. And, inshallah. Just say inshallah.
Inshallah.
Unless we will put you in the other category. So he says, what is it?
Do you have to pray Salatul Istisqa outside of the city?
It's better because you are inviting everyone. Actually, even some scholars said even the animals should be taken to that place. You get it? Which masjid can accommodate all of us? Istisqa is supposed to be prayed by everyone. Sisters, brothers, kids, sick people also, if they can go. Everyone should go. As I said, some scholars said, including that we should take the animals also. Maybe none of us is good enough for his dua to be accepted, but those innocent ones, because of them, Allah might listen to us. In the Israeliyat, Sulaiman alayhi salam was taking the people to go and make istisqa, and then he saw an ant raised up its legs, saying, Ya Allah, we don't have any support other than from you, Ya Allah. Don't hold us responsible of what human beings are doing. So Sulaiman alayhi salam, he told them, Irji'u faqad kufitu. He said, go back, somebody did the istisqa for you. But before they reach home, Sama can't do this. That's Israeliya, that sanad of this Israeliya is not authentic, but we just take it as what the Prophet said, La tusaddiquhum wa la tukadibuhum. We don't say yes, we don't say no, because it might be true. But it's very famous that Sulaiman met one of the ants, making dua, and Allah SWT sent them the rain. So the best is to take people out of the city. That was done by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to go and do the istisqa there. May Allah grant us good.
Ameen.
Finish. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.